You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
I'll tell you what, it's been an interesting and unique broadcast. Even after all these years, from time to time, we can still do something a little offbeat. And I will say, very much enjoyed what Scoop's surprise was. And, you know, Scoop pitched that idea to me a couple of weeks ago. And I didn't know what to think at first, but you know what? I said, let's do it. You know, because I knew that this guy obviously was right thinking on a lot of things. I think sometimes there's this trap or this need for some of our people to feel as though their message isn't valid unless it is sanctioned by someone who isn't white.
Exactly.
But you know, and so we don't fall into that trap at all. Listen, if there was not one guy out there like James Manning or Jesse Lee Peterson, we would still be right and we would still know it. So we don't need people to tell us it's okay to talk about these taboo issues or so-called taboo issues because, you know, they talk about it, so therefore we can. No, I don't play that game, but I'll tell you what, I appreciate an honest black man like James Manning and Jesse Lee Peterson, and why wouldn't I? You know, I mean, don't you think it would be better and race relations would be better if there were more right-thinking people in minority or they're not going to be minorities for much longer. We're about to be. But in the current minority communities, if more people thought about James Manning, don't you think they would be better off and we would be better off too? You know, emphasis on the latter of that. But, you know, if you believe that, why not give these people some press, people like Manning, some press? Hey, I don't know if I agree with him on everything. I don't know him very well, but I agreed with everything he said tonight. And if it's possible, he might have taken it a step further than even we do, Eddie.
Yes, sir. And, you know, before I go any further, I would just like to give a shout-out to two of my best friends over in Alabama. One of them listens to the show just about every week. Hello there, Stan, and hello there, Big C, the guru of North Alabama. In case y'all are listening tonight, I'd just like to say hello, and I love you, along with all the rest of our listeners. Now, getting back to what Reverend Manning said, and he not only was that perk me up, I also would like to go back to some positive things that Keith said about, you know, we're always talking about red state and blue state, and I've always maintained that people are people, no matter where we are. If we, you know, we're all Anglo-Saxon Americans and all Christians, just because, you know, you don't have to be white to be a Christian, that's for sure. Anybody can accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and go to heaven. Evidently, this Reverend Manning has. Not evidently, I mean, I think he has, but only, you know, only God and him knows for sure. Same way with me. But we had people like Keith pointed out from so-called blue state America. You don't get any more blue state than Minnesota, you know, Wisconsin and New Hampshire. People that are right thinking. And I brought that up right here in this very in the talk room.
Of course, this guy tonight, in addition to being a black fella, he's from New York.
Correct. Yeah, that's right. And I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to tell you what, people. Listen to what I'm saying. The establishment fears people like Reverend Manning more than anyone because this comes right back, harkens back to a conversation I had here about 3 weeks ago. If we could ever get a sizable portion of blacks, so-called people talk about low-class blacks, low-class class whites. If we could ever get a sizable portion of those people to wake up and see how they are being manipulated by these race traders, these race baiters, these, you know, welfare whoremongers, like Jesse Jackson, if we can ever wake up and see how they're being led down the slot to the slaughter and by the Zionist media, the powers to be, the globalists, they want to keep the race fires white hot, but it keep, you know, divide and conquer. We preached that here for years. People are probably tired of hearing us say that. But if we can ever wake up and see our enemy, before you can win any war, any battle, you have to know who the hell you're fighting. And the enemy of the blacks is not us working class white stiffs, and the enemies of the whites are not these poor blacks. In a way, you know, the violent ones they are, of course, but they're being, and some of them are incapable of anything but violent behavior. But
and we're going to talk about that later this hour. We've got a couple of stories of typical or what's become stereotypical black behavior, and we're going to get back to it.
We got to stop. We've got to stop taking our cue from the globalist controlled media and hating each other. We have to look what's happening. Our borders are crumbling. You know, the United States of America is just like a third world nation as far as the employment here, James. I was listening today to a big time talk show host, and he's talking about how Austin, Texas is just like it's like one mass soup line.
Well, listen, I mean, obviously, a peaceful separation of different cultures living within a close proximity to each other would be the greatest solution. But if we do have to be mixed, I mean, certainly we should cut off immigration immediately and deport everybody here that's illegally. You know, for the blacks that have been here, you know, some of their families since the 1600s, I mean, you know, that's a different story. And so you live together, they might as well be right thinking. Now, this is the guy that should be going on Fox News. This is, well, not Fox, but CNN, MSNBC. You know, this is the guy that should have an MSNBC program instead of Al Sharpton. And he'll tell you what he thinks about people like Sharpton and Jackson. And listen, this show is here to serve as a beacon of hope and inspiration for our people. I mean, this is a pro-white show, and we're here to celebrate our culture, our heritage, and to stand up as a voice for our people, not at the expense of anyone else, but first and foremost our family. But listen, a guy out there speaking like that, something that truthful, can we give him a little time? Absolutely, and absolutely we did, and absolutely we should have. And I thank Scoop for bringing that to the table tonight. I enjoyed everything he had to say. And I guess we'll just leave it at that because I don't want to, you know, go on and on and on about it. People heard the interview. But it is encouraging to know that there are people out there. They are very few. I mean, you know, but, you know, a guy like that should be the leader of that community. And I think if he was, you know, there would certainly be a lot more accountability and responsibility. And he touched on the things that, of course, we touch on. You know, absolutely no accountability in the black community overall, particularly the current generation, the younger generations of blacks who blame whites for everything. They go out and he used some colorful terms to describe them, but, you know, their violent behavior, their propensity for illegal shenanigans and thuggery. Hey, he's spot on. And sometimes love comes with, you know, there's something called tough love, and I think that needs to be administered. And I just wish that he had a greater following. I wish he had. But, of course, the media is not going to promote a guy like that no more than they're going to promote people like us.
You know, James, that's why we have to discount the media at this point in time because we are never going to control the so-called mainstream media at this point in time. Even if white Gentile Christians had the money, they would not let us. They would never let us ever control it. Here's the responsibility of the political cesspool and our listeners and other people like James Manning, who's already doing the job. We're going to have to realize we can't get along with the mass. We cannot work through the mass media. We can't work through the commercial appeal here in Memphis, for instance. What we have to do, we have to have people like James Manning and James Edwards and Eddie Miller and Keith and our listeners. This has to start at the churches where it very began. We have to preach this message, James, nation all over the world. Is it going to be tough? Yes. Is it going to be impossible? Maybe, but I don't think so. If we can get together and do it, James, we can do it.
Well, listen, we are here to serve as people who defend and advance our folk. He's there to do the same first and foremost for his people, as he should and as we do. But is that to say that from time to time we can't, you know, give each other a pat on the back? Hey, I think it's okay, obviously. I mean, what am I saying that for? Everybody knows that. But we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we are going to – we still got a lot of fun stuff to cover tonight. And it's been a fun show. I mean, Keith Alexander calling in, two segments for live from Ameren. It's been very unique tonight, off kilter, not standard, and exciting.
Well, I'm kind of sentimental, James. I kind of missed old Keith tonight when he's talking. Right?
We're going to get back and right after.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rainfly and plenty of compartments and pockets. Perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our 0 degrees sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right? And he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him. And believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
Searching, searching, every night and day, if we gotta keep on the run, follow the sun.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
I think ultimately, ladies and gentlemen, and I don't even think I welcomed people back to the program this hour at the top of the last segment, but of course you know you're listening to the Political Cesspool here on the Liberty News Radio Network. I'm your host, James Edwards. Eddie the Bobbiter Miller in studio with me. Keith out of town tonight, although he called in with a live remote from the American Renaissance Conference. James Manning, our guest during the first hour. We were talking about that, of course, in the previous segment. I think ultimately the question we're asking is, would things be better for us? Would race relations be better if more folks in the black community thought like him? Obviously, I think the answer is obvious. Now, for those who don't, who are becoming increasingly the norm, got another example for you. More black mob violence in Memphis just this week.
Horrifying.
At a local gas station. We've got the video of this at thepoliticalcesspool.org. I posted it on Thursday evening. You got to watch this, folks. It looks like some sort of a plague. It looks like some sort of a horror movie, like when the zombies are all after, you know, to eat, you know, somebody's brain.
I've got to chime in here, James. Listen, people, you all know I train for marathons. I've been training since July of 2012. Really, one marathon goes into another for St. Jude. I have run by that. I hadn't told you this, James, until right now. I've run by that gasoline station probably at least 60 to 75 times on my training routes. That's part, it's not exactly part of the St. Jude marathon course here in Memphis, but it's real close. I turned kind of cold when I saw that because I cannot tell you how many times I've run by there by myself.
You can't really describe what the video shows in words. I mean, it's just something you have to watch. But basically, if you aren't familiar with the story, an elderly white female was afraid to leave a gas station because a large group of young black kids, I mean, they're, you know, teens, I guess. Now, the media just calls them teens. We call them
children.
Black teens, you know, 17, 18, you know, late high schoolers. They were, you know, out there being a nuisance. And a black man in the store told the older white lady that he would help her get to her car because obviously she was afraid. So he yells at these thugs to back up and to calm down. The woman gets inside her car, and infuriated that this black man would stand up for a white woman, this black mob, this all-black mob, viciously attacks and pummels the Good Samaritan. Now, he said in the news report he was able to finally get away after sustaining, you know, the beating and some injuries. They followed him to his car, and these thugs, these degenerates, I think James Manning in the first hour called him exactly, you know, what they are, which we won't go there, but you heard. They were throwing punches that landed within a couple of inches of his three-month-old baby's head who was in the back seat. Now, could you imagine if they'd landed a punch and killed that man's baby because they are just, they're animals, okay? That's all these people are.
That's exactly
Let's face
what they
it. Are. You're an animal if you get that upset and you go into this, I mean, it's like they have some sort of a rage virus.
It is.
This event occurred. Here's what's interesting about this is that it occurred, I mean, because there's really nothing unique about the story. It happens in every, you know, it happens every day in America. But this event occurred on the exact same block as last fall's memorable manifestation of diversity, when a similar group of street thugs, probably some of them, you know, participated in both events, viciously attacked a young white employee who was collecting baskets in the Kroger parking lot, a grocery store parking lot. He was collecting baskets. They attacked him without any provocation just because he was white, started dribbling 20-pound pumpkins off of his head. You can actually see that very same Kroger grocery store in this news report, in the video footage they shot, in the background. So, you know, this violent example and that violent example reminds us that it's open season for these thugs, and everybody knows it. And it's particularly aimed at whites, and we're victims of a cultural and physical genocide that has been endorsed and sanctioned by the government and the establishment media. As James Manning very rightly mentioned, behavior is encouraged. Why, you know, but where was Obama? I mean, after all, these were his children. I guess he only claims black children like Trayvon Martin. Well, why not claim these guys? I mean, it's all the same. Where's Jesse Jackson? Where's Eric Holder? Where were the charges of hate crime? You know, in any of these two events or in any of them that occur on a daily basis, where's the national media? You know, unlike that fetish-like fantasy that we call it of a racist white person attacking a black person, real incidents like this occur every day. They happen every day. And getting back to that thing that happened last fall in Memphis where they attacked this white kid, and I believe he had some sort of a disability. He was, you know, mentally challenged. Hey, no hate crimes charges there. I think a couple of them went to juvie. It wasn't like this, you know, it wasn't a serious event like the event we talked about last week where the kid at Ole Miss put a Georgia State flag around the James Meredith statue and is, you know, facing up to 11 years in federal prison.
Here's another point. I'd like to interject this. And James, this particular Kroger store is in an upscale area of Memphis.
It's within walking distance of the University of Memphis.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And, you know, there's, matter of fact, Coach Calipari, the multimillion-dollar paid coach, basketball coach in Memphis, Tennessee, lived within a half mile there in a mansion. I used to run around when my oldest daughter lived in that section of town. I used to run around. There's a very upscale golf course and park there. You see, there's no such thing as being safe in an all-white area. So don't delude yourself into believing that, people. You need to stay armed, and you need to get proficient in your arm. You need to be confident in using that. And you need to be prepared to use deadly force, because that young man who was attacked, I do not know how he survived that without having brain damage. In fact, he might have. But that's the point I'm trying to drive home. There is no safe area anymore. These were these roving gangs, just, and James described them perfectly, just like wild dogs in Africa, like wild hyenas, you know, worse than a pack of wolves. They have it's a genetic hatred they have deep in their soul. And it is genetic, but there are a good number of blacks.
Yeah,
that's
the thing. I mean, we'll get called out, of course, by the Southern Poverty Law Center tomorrow for calling them animals. But listen, I'm not saying that all blacks are animals. I wouldn't say that about Manning, Peterson. These people that engage in this type of violent behavior with no cause whatsoever, it wasn't as if, you know, people were throwing rocks at them or shooting at them and they had to rush them to try to protect themselves. No, this was for nothing. It was in the middle of the day. They can't even blame it on drugs or alcohol that they're so prone to use. No, people that engage in this behavior, and they're usually black, are animals. These people are animals.
You know, and it reminds me, I love nature. You know, I used to like to hunt before I got into running marathons. But I love wildlife videos. And I particularly like to watch the videos with the lions and the hyenas in Africa and stuff. But yeah, I could say this for the hyenas. The hyenas and wild dogs, which are some of the most feared animals in Africa, when they have behavior like that, they're trying to kill to eat. But these wild animal blacks, they were imitating the animalistic behavior of the wild dogs and the hyenas of Africa just out of hatred, pure hatred. They did not try to eat that.
Well, man, the media, you know, promotes this thug and gang culture as if, you know, you're not part of the upper tier of cool, you know, badass society unless you're engaged in this sort of degeneracy. You know, getting a job, you know, you're a black kid, you go to school, you try to do good in your grades, and you go to college, and you get a job, and you have a family. No, that's what whites do. That's not cool. That's not the way to get your cred, you know. You know, there's a part of a dysfunctional part of the black culture, and certainly the media that promotes rap and gangs and drug dealing and violent crimes with guns as if that's the only way to be a real, genuine black person. If you go out and you try to get a job and you try to speak, you know, proper English, then you're a sellout. You're an Uncle Tom. And apparently they don't have enough common sense or you know, critical thinking to know that that's a lie. And, you know, the real, you know, decent people of any race are the people who go out and try to be productive members of society, not, you know, street rats.
Well, these people, that particular people like that, they enjoy the behavior, too. You know, they're taught that, and like you say, James, they're highly encouraged to do that because, like we've talked about it 100 times, in fact, we've mentioned it several times tonight, the establishment media, the powers that be, the people that really hate and despise America, they hate and despise white Christian America, they use that as a divide and conquer.
And, you know, listen, and if it had been a bunch of whites, if this video had been whites doing the things the blacks were doing, I'd call them animals too. But, you know, the thing about it is, and they would be. They would be. That's the thing, Eddie. I haven't seen one of those. I see videos like this every day. I haven't seen a video of whites acting like that. We're going to take a break. We'll be back.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you are somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. You a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over.
Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin, just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Oh, yeah, oh.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, folks, I've mentioned it several times before, but in case any of you don't know, I have the high honor of being a regular guest on Sam Bushman's radio show, the Liberty Roundtable. Now, Liberty Roundtable is a Monday through Friday show, right here, of course, on Liberty News Radio. And I'm on the third Wednesday of each month with Sam and his co-host, Kirk Crosby. And I was on this past Wednesday because it was the third Wednesday of the month. And I don't have this story in front of me, and I'll make this quick because we've got a caller on the line waiting. But essentially, the story is this. Not long ago, there was this white family with a young daughter who suffered. They were the victims of a home invasion, and it was a black fella who broke into the house. I know that's shocking to people to, you know, imagine that occurring, but it did. And he broke in, and you know, some way, somehow, they were able to drive him back out, and he was arrested. Anyway, when this thing went to trial, the mother was commenting that her daughter now is traumatized from having been broken in on, and, you know, from the being frightened like that, and having to see that occur. I mean, imagine a young girl. And that now every time she sees a black man, you know, she gets scared and runs and cowers behind her parents. All right, well, at the end of it all, the judge gave the black criminal probation. You know, you're talking about a strong-armed robbery, home invasion. He gets probation, and he reads the riot act to the family about being racist.
You know what? That judge needs to be the next victim of the criminal act like that.
Family. You know, even people like that, scumbags like that judge, we won't wish any violence on. But hey, you know,
if it would save 10 good lives, I say sacrificing.
Well,
I mean, sometimes it takes. That's what it takes. I mean,
we're not going to wish ill will on anybody or promote violence. I know that's not what you're doing. You're just saying he should be the victim, as they were the victims of a home invasion. That would serve him right. Hey, listen, I can't argue with that. But, you know, the thing is, it just goes to show in this day and age that this is what we're faced with. You know, you got this kid that we talked about at Ole Miss last week, who is, you know, facing 11 years in prison. You got this black, I'm sure this wasn't his first offense. God knows. I would be shocked if it was. Yeah, he gets probation while the family gets scolded about how they should be ashamed of being racist, you know, that they're, you know, how they, you know, have failed in the rearing of their daughter. Anyway, that's just another story from modern day America. Now, Eddie, we've got a caller on the line here, Lee in Memphis. And Lee is a caller that you expected. Tell us why.
Lee, are you there, my friend?
Oh, yeah, Eddie, yeah.
Listen, Lee, I would like to, during the break, you and I were talking about something, and I know of no one that knows more about Jane Helm than you do. I was telling James about that during the break. We're going to have a guest coming on next, and we're going to tie your conversation in with his. We're having an economist to come on to talk about the United States economic system crashing and burning because the Chinese yuan is going to displace the United States dollar as the world's reserve currency. And Lee, you and I both know, and Sam knows, that's why the United States military and the police are in conjunction with putting in martial law. Now, Lee, I want you to tell us all you know about Jade Helm in about 4 or 5 minutes.
Okay, well, it's starting now, even though it's not supposed to start until about January
What is Jade Helmley? Our audience don't know what Jade Helmley is. Give us a brief description of Jade Helmley, if you don't mind.
It's just it's a military exercise preparing for terrorists, and they're saying they're supposed to help our troops if they go over there in the Middle East. But it's a dual operation. It can help here in America to arrest patriots. Because it's subversion. That's what it is.
And Lee, am I right in saying that they have the military? It's a military control, totally military control. They have named several states, including the state that Sam Bushman resides in, Utah, Nevada, Arizona, Mexico, as enemy states. And they have named they say that the enemy is not the so-called terrorists. It's the patriots, people that believe in the Bible, people that talk about the Constitution. And they're all, if that's true, and I'm going to ask you, is that true, Lee?
Yeah. I know it's Texas and Utah, and in Florida they practice getting guns from people's homes. We got to say, and they're going to do this every year.
Hey, Lee, can you talk more into your phone? Yeah. Hey, Lee, I'm sorry, Lee. Can you talk more in your phone?
Yeah.
Get a bit closer.
Yeah, wait 1 second.
Yeah. Listen, while you're doing that, Lee, I'm also going to interject. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, Lee. Go ahead.
I have a sinus infection. That's why my voice is sort of not strong. Hold on. Yeah. Well, they're going to do it every year, and they're going to add foreign troops. This is unacceptable. We've got to call Congress and tell them never have this type of exercise again.
Well, here's the problem with that, Lee. It hadn't been too long ago that the Congress was told by what was Geithner, who was the head of the Federal Reserve, that if the Congress tried to audit the Federal Reserve, tried to interfere with their operation in any way whatsoever, that there would be martial law, there'd be troops in the streets. Another thing, Lee, and this ties in with, and see let me know if I'm correct. Like we said, the Chinese yuan getting ready to displace the United States dollar, go in with the Federal Reserve, and they know that when that happens. I'm telling you what, the day that the Chinese dollar, I'm probably giving it too much away from when the economist comes on, that the day the Chinese yuan takes place of the United States dollars being the world's reserve currency, that's the next morning, you know, Americans will wake up to a third or fourth world nation. The United States dollar, as we know it now, will be, it'll be worth 10, 15, 20 cents, Lee. I'm saying that, and I know you know more about that than I do, but one of the big purposes is martial law, Lee. Do you think it's because the powers that be know that the United States economic system is going to melt down and that they're afraid of the people riding in the streets?
Yes, that's one of the reasons. And plus, if we get, you know, Joe Skousen says that Russia and China are building and we're disarming and they're going to sneak attack us. And they'll have a war, and then they'll dump the economy. That's what Joe Skousen said.
Well, you know, I see where I hope I'm not giving in too much and talking too much about what we're going to talk about the next segment with the economists coming on. But the United States dollar is done now for all practical purposes. The plug's going to be pulled before too much longer. I want the economists to talk about that. But we're also, our unemployment figures are off the scale. Much higher than the news media will ever want to let you know. Go to any city, USA, any large city, and you'll see gangs of people at the welfare offices, at the unemployment offices, nothing to do, hopelessness. And that's because of the globalists instituting the so-called free trade. What they've done is totally destroy the economic system here in the United States. And the reason they did it in so-called free trade, and I'm telling you what, the Republicans were more to blame in that than the Democrats under NAFTA, GATT, and the FTAA. And the reason, the big reason they want to do that is to bring the United States down, Lee, economically. Because once you destroy the economic system, once you destroy the currency in any nation, there's no sure way to destroy that government than to destroy the currency. And, Lee, I think, like you and I was talking about today, that the reason they're bringing that martial law is, I hope I'm not repeating myself, is the reason they're bringing martial law in is because they know, the powers that be know, that when it hits the fan and the people's children are starving to death in the streets, then they're going to be out there rioting, they're going to be trying to attack the Congress, they're going to hang those people like they did Benito Mussolini, and that's what they're afraid of, Lee. And am I right or wrong?
I don't know why the troops are going along with all this unconstitutional exercises.
Well, you know, Lee, that's why they have so many troops, and I'm going to ask you if you're right, if I'm right. That's why the United States government has so many troops in foreign nations, and they're going to bring the foreign troops in to do where our own troops won't be. And I'm afraid, I think we're getting ready to go to a break. I'm not sure.
We got about 1 minute.
We got about one. I'll wrap it up in 1 minute, really. We got 1 minute for a break from my good friend.
Yeah, but this is unacceptable, you know, having these drills and having foreign trade deals done with in secret. So this is just unacceptable if we want to live in a free nation. This is just unacceptable. We just got to call Congress or demonstrate or have some kind of boycott or some kind of strike. And we don't need this slow motion creep, listen creep, to lose our freedoms here at home. We got to protest and strike, economically or whatever.
Well, I mean, and this is the thing about it. I mean, most people aren't going to do anything ever, no matter what. I mean, we know that. But it was a very small percentage of the people who even fought in the Revolutionary War for the American side. And my God, what a waste. What do they fight for? Hey, look at the country now. But, you know, just if a few people could get going. But, I mean, 50 people here, you know, 25 people here on the street, that ain't going to cut it. And that's pretty much what the, you know, so-called patriot movement is all about.
Thank you for calling in, Lee.
The power. Thank you so much for calling, Lee. We love you. We'll be back right after this.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Stay in the tank, girl. You're what we
welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
One of the songs.
Hey, absolutely. Highlight of the show each and every week, no doubt. Well, folks, that last half of that last segment gives you a little sneak peek into what we'll be doing at the top half of the third hour, when we're going to have a economist. He teaches college-level economics now. He is an economist by trade. He's been with us before. I think Eddie had him on for a series.
Yeah, we had a series
a year or two ago. He's going to give us an update on the future of the dollar and, you know, something we haven't talked about in a while. So we'll just see what happens when he comes on here in the next segment. Some of the things, obviously, that Eddie was talking about with our caller pertains to that. That's coming up in the third hour. And then later in the third hour, the one and only Sam Bushman will be with us to help us handicap the ever-increasing field of presidential candidates. So it's going to be a free-for-all with there being no incumbent. Everybody is running, and I do mean everybody. Well, we'll tell you who, what we think of as many as we can handle. I don't even think we can get, I don't even know if we could name the entire field if we just read the list of candidates in the next 30 minutes. But anyway.
I think Sam Bushman should be.
We'll get after it. Now, listen, it is Confederate History Month, and we haven't talked about Confederate history yet tonight. And I just gave you the preview of the third hour. So as you have probably surmised, we have called an audible. Now, when you are the founder and creator and primary host of a show, like I am, you can call an audible. Even though I am a creature of habit, I am obsessive compulsive, like big time. And so I normally stick to my self-imposed script. Because as you know, each Saturday in April, which is Confederate History Month, we like to do an hour pertaining to Confederate history, Southern culture,
chime in here, James,
so on and so forth. And I'm going
to
get your take on it. But the reason is that we're not doing it tonight. Eddie will be out next week. He'll be running a marathon in Nashville. And so we're going to actually do 2 hours next week of Confederate history. So we still get the 4 hours that, you know, we would have gotten in April. But tonight we had Keith out of town. We have Eddie, who'll be out of town next week. And some other things we wanted to cover. So anyway, it's still coming. The good news about Confederate history, though, is not a lot has changed there. Not much changes with regards to Confederate history from year to year. So I would remind you, as important as it is, and as much as we love, we look forward to April the all the year round. And of course, everybody just within the last couple of days who donated to the show last month, $100 or more, received our book, Confederate, Rebel Wisdom, which will help you enjoy this particular month. But I would encourage you to visit the archives, which is really just a treasure trove with regards to this topic. And once they're in the can, when you're talking about a topic like Confederate history, they are just as good and as meaningful and as timely today as they were last year or years ago. And you go back year after year in our archives during the month of April, and you'll see different guests. But the one, and I've mentioned this, you know, every so often, the one that really stands out was our Confederate History Month series in 2007, which was the last year that the Political Cesspool was on 5 nights a week, Monday through Friday. Starting in 2008, we switched to the once-a-week format to make the program more of an event, to where people have a full week if they can't listen to us live to catch us, and we just really wanted to saturate each show. Well, 2007, we had a lot of guests on Confederate History Month, including Dr. David Bush, who talks about the Johnson Island Confederate Prison in Ohio, Dr. Thomas DeLorenzo. He's the author of Lincoln Unmasked. David Duncan, who is the president of the Civil War Preservation Trust. Richard Flowers, who is the curator of Beauvoir, which is the Jefferson Davis Home and Presidential Library. Michael Andrew Grissom, a noted Southern author. He's written Southern by the Grace of God. Scott Harris, director of the Newmarket Battlefield. Dr. Michael Hill, of course. Sam Dixon, both regulars on the show. Particularly during Confederate History Month. Clint Johnson, he authored The Politically Incorrect Guide to the South. Glenn McConnell, who was then the South Carolina Lieutenant Governor. Dr. Thomas Naylor, who is an economist from Duke University, who was on to talk about Confederate economy, issues related to that. S. Waite Rawls, president of the Museum of the Confederacy. So, you know, it's hard in commercial radio to pick, you know, what hero do you want to talk about? What battle do you want to talk about? And any of those individuals or events could dominate an entire program, 3 hours, much less one. And, of course, just a couple of weeks ago, we had Gene Andrews on the show, who is a historian by trade and a history teacher by profession until he retired. He was on just to talk about the Battle of Fort Pillow, which featured our very favorite native Memphian, Nathan Bedford Forrest. But we talked about that one battle for an hour. Anyway, that's why we encourage you to go back to the archives because, you know, not a lot's changed with Fort Pillow or the Battle of New Market since they, you know, not at least in the last few years. So you go back to them and you listen to them. They're just as meaningful and just as up-to-date in 07 or whatever years they are today. Anyway, I've rambled enough just to tell you that we're going to do 2 hours of Confederate history next week and none tonight because we got some other things we need to cover. And we had this guest that we pushed, and we had Manning who had to come on tonight. Anyway, all that and more. We're doing 2 hours next week and none tonight on Confederate History, except for this segment. And I want to ask Eddie, who won't be here with us next week, so this will be his last time to be on the air with us in the month of April. Eddie, I know you want to chime in, but tell us, in addition to that, your thoughts on being a Southerner. I ask you this every year, what it means to be a Confederate. I know you claim to be a Confederate now. I mean, obviously, you're the son. You know, you have Confederate lineage, but you're a Confederate now. You're not a neo-Confederate. You're the real thing. Anyway. Well, all of that and more. Take it away.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'd like to say something. That, you know, as you know, I'm a big runner, and we have what they call the caffeine run here in Memphis, Tennessee. I dearly love it. It's my favorite run. It's, we run every Tuesday about 6 o'clock in the morning. Lo and behold, after the last week's show, the show when we did when Gene came on and gave about the Battle of Fort Pillow, I'll be doggone if some of the people at this caffeine run were talking about, we have a big run up at Fort Pillow where they had the big massacre. And I thought, oh, Lord, can I get away from that? But anyway, something else I would like to point out, something we never
how
talk about.
How foolish and ignorant.
I mean,
God,
how
that's
dumb.
That's really annoying.
I want to get a CD, or at least guide them, point them to the archives of political cesspool. But here's one thing about the Confederacy, about the war we never talk about, James, seldom ever talk about, is the economics of it. You know, the international bankers, the globalist bankers, the same bankers that have everything stirred up now, the same bankers that financed Korea, especially the Second World War, the First World War, the same ones financed the war between war of Northern aggression. And I'm telling you what, people, if the South had won that war, I do not in my heart believe we would have a central bank run by private individuals controlled by the international Zionists. We've asked economists when he comes on later. But yes, James, I am a Confederate to the bone. The Confederates, the Confederacy was, we were the Christians. We had the high ground. I've wondered 1,000 times why God let us lose that war. I'm wondering, are we being punished for some reason? But, you know, the South was anti-federal bank. We were anti-big government. We were, the South was a government, was a snapshot of what, especially what George Washington, but especially what Thomas Jefferson had envisioned for this nation.
Well, we talked about this. I mean, many descendants of the original founders fought for the South. The South was right. The South were and are good people. And listen, there's nothing to be ashamed about. It just irks me. It's a pet peeve of mine to see people so stupid, but, I mean, you can't hardly blame them. I mean, you can, but, I mean, there's, of course, reasons for that. They don't care about being stupid, so there's that. But, week, though, we're going to have a real blowout to make up for not being able to cover it tonight. We're going to have a lot of guests and 2 hours dedicated to the South. It'll be our last, obviously, show in April, which is Confederate History Month. So next week, be prepared for that, folks. And I wanted to be sure to mention that before we move into the third hour, which is going to be crammed with our economist guest and then, of course, Sam Bushman.
I would like to point out one more time before we leave. I know I got to make this quick. But the South was what Thomas Jefferson had envisioned, a group of family farms, Christian people, anti-big bank. Thomas Jefferson, I keep going back to the banks because, with, you know, that's everything. If you don't control your currency, you have no nation. Thomas Jefferson said that if we ever allow the bankers to issue the people's currency and to control the currency, that the bankers would steal everything that the founders had handed down to their children. The people would be dispossessed of their own land. The South knew that. The South did not want a huge bank. The South wanted people to own their own land, to have the small farms. Could you be a doctor, lawyer, Indian chief? Of course you could. But Thomas Jefferson, just like Jefferson Davis, just like Robert E. Lee, just like your great one and only Nathan Bedford Forrest, who was come from a farm himself, They were the Christians. They were the anti-central bankers. They were the pro-farm family. That's what we were fighting against. But just like we lost World War I, like we lost World War II, the international Zionist bankers triumphed. They were using the money. They were using the banks to control both sides of the war. They could care less who won the war because they were going to keep the people in debt. Lincoln, even Lincoln, the bloody Lincoln, the unmasked Lincoln, knew that himself. Lincoln said that he had the bankers behind him and the Confederate Army in front of him, and he said that the bankers were the most dangerous of the two, James.
Well, listen, and I'll tell you this, even until I believe there was a conference, if it was at Hampton Roads, even in this was late 64, or early 65, the North, Lincoln's administration, still was going to allow the South to keep their slaves, which of course was not what the war was all about, but it just goes to show everything you know about that. If the South would have surrendered their arms as late as I believe early 1865, it just goes to show no one's defending slavery, blah blah blah. But everything you know about that war, or think you know about it, unless I'm not talking about our audience, which knows the truth, but people like Eddie was talking about, is a lie. And I've got an incredible article tonight with the American Renaissance being in full swing. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. Read what the founders thought about race, including Lincoln himself. Jared Taylor wrote the piece. We revisited it this week.
Look up Lincoln issuing the greenback dollars. That's what got him killed. Issuing a dollar independent of the United States, of the federal bankers.
Decide for yourself, folks. We got to take a break.